The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday, and we don't miss a beat as we step up to take on the book of Philippians. Our goal is not a deep exposition, which means a comprehensive description and explanation, but a sensible approach to practical application. First up, we're going to talk about the background to the letter so that we can understand the letter better. It's helpful to know what was happening then, but be careful that you don't get stuck there. Next, we talk about how you start a discussion, and that matters. How you introduce yourself, that matters. And understanding that it changes depending on who you're talking to, and that matters too. And finally, we get to see one of the coolest reasons why we rejoice with one another, and surprise, surprise, it involves one another.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey. Hey. Hey there. Hey. 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 We're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us. You can text us 214-210-8483. That's for the text. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. As you know, it can be a praise report. It can be a prayer request. It can be a pop question. By the way, we've got two pop questions that we're answering on Monday. The first one is going to have to do with the fear of the Lord, and the second one is going to have to do with Revelation chapter 3, primarily verses 1 through 3 in the church to Sardis. So it'll be exciting, but we're going to do that on Monday. So I'm telling you now, for those that don't know or for those that have asked the question, that's up and coming. So you can always ask pop questions. If you text them to me, I usually will try and do it in another time frame. If they're pretty straightforward, I'll just do my best to answer them right there on the spot. I do the best I can. It's what I got. I just bring it before the Lord, just like you and I do the best that we can before the Lord. Also, we have trivia. Did you know we had trivia? I don't know if you knew that. Did you know we had trivia?
I did not.
Oh. When you're answering the phone, are these people ordering pizza or what are they doing?
Yeah, that's why we put them on air so they can give us their order.
No, like pepperoni and mushrooms. I just saw that the other day. Somebody was freaking out for a pepperoni and mushroom.
That's
so weird.
Nasty.
Yeah. My brother was a really anti-mushroom guy. One of those. He was a fun guy. Get it? Fun guy. Come on. Ta-da. That's a good one. I get one for that. Thank you very much. All right, here is the trivia question. This is a pretty interesting one, and it shouldn't be too hard, but it should be a little fun to look at. Who was the first man to suggest that Jonah be thrown overboard? Who was the first man to suggest that Jonah would be thrown overboard? Okay, folks, keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. We just proved that. It's just radio. It's pretty straightforward. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. As you know, we have been doing a little bit of Yiddish dictionarying, and we're going to be doing that in just a second. I do want to forewarn you, we are going to be jumping into Philippians. That does mean this first segment is going to be a little bit of background-y, which means it's good to know. And in Bible college and in seminary and in all these different levels, they say, you must know the background. And I only agree with that partly. I think it's really helpful to know, But if you don't know, you can still pick up the book, pick up the letter, read it, and just get a ton of stuff from Scripture, because the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the Word alive. We just talked about that yesterday. Okay, ready for our sound? We're going to try our sound, new sound, for our Yiddish dictionary. Go ahead. Yeah, play it again. Play it. Don't play it twice, always. There it is. Good job. I asked her to get Hava Nagila. That is exactly correct. Let's go to the words. Get ready. Don't be offended by these words. This is just words of a different language. I'm in a language class. You can learn a different language, although Yiddish is more slang than anything. Here is the next word. You've probably heard this word from time to time. It's the word goy. G-O-Y, goy. Goy, quite simply, goy is somebody who isn't Jewish. It's just as straight, simple as can be. There are a multitude of non-Jewish people in the groups. You do not refer to them, though, as goys, but as goyim, because that would be the plural, in case anybody really cares. I don't know why you would care about the plurals for goyim, but I guess some people might. I don't know. Is it language?
I guess they have
to. I mean, but see, this is what makes it fun, is that I can call somebody a goy, and they can think, is that offensive? Is that not offensive? And I just look at it. It's like, are you Jewish? No. Okay, goy. Okay. And for those that are wondering, in the Bible, whenever it says Jews and Gentiles, that Gentiles, that's the goy. There you go. Just straightforward. Here's one more word that I'll add to your dictionary. Should have fun with this one. This word is called kepi. Kepi. Jewish mothers love to kiss their kids' kepis. The kepi, in case you didn't grow up in a Jewish household, is a way of referring to a forehead. A kepi is a forehead. And so Jewish moms give the kiss on the kepi. Okay? All right. I'm just teaching you, folks. Don't get mad at me. This is just the language. All right, we've got to go into it. We've got our question. Who was the person who first suggested Jonah be thrown in or thrown overboard? We'll get to that towards the end of this segment. But let's start off with our music for expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 Wow!
All I can say is wow. This, by the way, so we did Ephesians as the first book, so that you can know Ephesians is like kind of like the Magna Carta of the scriptures. Really, just phenomenal. And Philippians is happens to be my personal favorite in the sense of the epistles, but primarily because the main emphasis on Philippians, so that you can understand this, the main emphasis is encouragement. That is the main goal of the entire passage. I do got to give you a little background material. I do want to remind you about Psalm 29:4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Anytime you get into the Word of God, it's powerful, it's majestic, it's wonderful. Here's the thing. I did some extra study on Philippians because I couldn't find my original notes. Guess what I found about 15 minutes ago? My original notes. It's like, I'm looking at them going, these are really good. I should use these. All right. A couple things to tell you about Philippians that you need to know, but this is really helpful for you to understand where we're heading. The city was named after King Philip II. That is Alexander the Great's father. So this was a city that was gifted. Philippi was made up of retired military people. Want to know why? Because there were big tax breaks there. Okay? For those that, it happens everywhere. There's some places there's no state taxes. Some places there are state taxes, right? So this is one of the things you get to understand. Located along the Ignatian Way. By the way, the Ignatia proverb, for those that don't know, is how did you build this road? Ready? This is good for everybody. One stone at a time. It's a really long road. One stone at a time. Philippi is located where Greece, present-day Greece, is, for those that are looking for it. And here's the thing I did want you to catch. This is kind of the important thing. Philippi, as a church, was birthed by Paul in about 51 A.D., okay? It's about 12 years later that he writes this letter. So this is a 12-year distance. So here's what I want you to think about. Acts chapter 16, okay? Acts chapter 16, that's when the church was founded. Now we're at Acts 28. So he founded the church about Acts 16. Now we're at Acts 28, just so you can understand that difference. The first two converts, Lydia, the seller of purple. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple? And then the Philippian jailer and his family. Some pretty interesting stuff, I think. Here is a very important, and this is the most important element that you're going to hear me talk about the entire time we review this epistle. This epistle, this letter, is one of Paul's most intimate in the writings. You might say, well, how do you determine that this is an intimate epistle? In most of Paul's letters, he writes in the title, apostle, big chief guy with God, dude who's writing book kind of mentality. But in Philippians, he just simply identifies himself as a servant. And so his introduction is important. That's why you think, well, why are introductions important? Because how you introduce yourself to people matters. And it's not the same each and every time. So if I meet somebody who's a Christian, who's a pastor, or who's a servant in the kingdom, or is an evangelist, or so on and so forth, there might be one approach. If I meet somebody who's a Christian and they've had a real big disaster recently happen and something take place, I might approach that with a different, more compassionate, more merciful kind of spirit. And so the idea is to understand that each and every situation that you introduce yourself, that you enter into, calls for a sense of wisdom on how you communicate that. And you might be thinking, well, how do you get all of that? Because he called himself a servant, which is so different than how Paul normally addresses people. It's a very intimate, very humbling, very yielding approach. And it's just so awesome. The other thing that I do want you to catch, and this is really important, is the word victory or joy or rejoicing is used more in these four chapters than any other time. It's 16 times that Paul talks about victory, joy, rejoicing, or its equal, which is Paul's way of saying, yay, we win. That's what you got to know. That's how we're approaching the letter. When we come back, of course, we're going to step into it and go through it as best we can, make sure it's applicable. The answer to the trivia question, by the way, I think people want to know. We have people texting in more than normal, which is good. The first man to suggest that Jonah be thrown overboard into the water was Jonah. Jonah suggested himself that he be thrown into the water. Okay, we're going to take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently, Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll tell you up ahead of time. I had a chance to talk today to Johnny Hill. We haven't had a chance to talk for a while. He has been busy. Oh, boy. In fact, this is his first 3 days off in the last 6 weeks. So that guy has been busy, busy, busy. We're staying in contact. As soon as he's able to come back into the studio, we're going to coordinate that. So we're just staying, you know, we're staying in our place, a good friendship. That's where you want to stay. And I always ask people to pray for Johnny. And the reason that I do, and for all our ministry partners, but for Johnny specifically, is because he is learning ministry. So the Lord brought him to me. I got to teach him a little bit, and we, you know, developed a good friendship. And now he's going in some other things that he's learning. But him and I have this nice connection. And I'd like you to pray for him as the Lord teaches him and guides him, because where he's going and where he's ministering, most of you won't go and most of you won't minister in. And believe me, the Lord needs soldiers at every point, in every element, and in every way. And I just appreciate it. I think it's great. I just love him in the Lord. He's got a wonderful family. He's got a great spirit. Okay. You know you can reach out to us, 214-210-8483. That is the text. And you can also call us at 972-445-0770. Here is the second trivia question. Not very difficult. The third one is going to be a lot harder, I'm telling you now. Just get yourself ready. Get your brain going. But this one's not that bad. What was the name of the Bible character who, because of his age, slept with a beautiful young virgin in order to keep warm? Not to have sex, in order to keep warm. Okay, that's the question. Think you know, you're welcome to call in, or you're welcome also to reach out to us through text. Other things to tell you, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Thank you for everybody for giving, and for those that are thinking about giving, let me give you a push. Okay, I just pushed the microphone, and that was me pushing you, saying, yeah, give. Do that. That's a good idea. And we need that, and it helps us. And we're at, what are we, at the 16th? This is the 16th, right? We're a little bit halfway through. And we're actually closer to target this month than last month. But last month we were a little behind, so I want to push a little. So I'm pushing you. Push, push, push. Go to HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. I don't care if it's $5. See, to me, the more people giving, the more people praying, the more people committed, the more people in, the better we're doing. That's just how I look at it. And it's not just the giving. It's really the praying. That's what I need more than anything else. Email david@HeMustIncrease.org is our email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I always want to have a little bit of history to keep ourselves fresh and honest. Remember, history is his story, for those that, okay,
That's only true when it applies to God. I'm just saying, but it sounds good. Today is Corn Fritters Day. Okay, Corn Fritters Day. Are you a big Corn Fritters fan? Because
it's not bad. I like it.
It's okay. So it's like eh.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give it an eh. Fresh Spinach Day, which is really good if you're a Popeye fan, right?
I love both.
Do you? Oh, you're so good. Get to Know Your Customers Day, which is good just to be nice about it. Eric missed the trivia question. Okay, Eric, here's the trivia question. Who is the Bible character who, because of his age, slept with a beautiful young virgin in order to keep warm? There you go, buddy. Let's see. Also, it's National Stress Awareness Day. I will say that Jesus was a strong teacher in regards to not having stress. That's why he said, take no thought for tomorrow. People worry about things that have not yet happened, and that means they're worrying about the future of which they have no control over, which is like, don't do that. Okay, good answer. I got three things you're going to just – some of these are just going to blow your mind. Number one, 1975 is the first time species were removed from the endangered species list. In 1969, three types of trout were put on the list, and then in 1975 they were taken off. So I have one question for the evolutionists and for the secular humanists and the people that are Darwin fans. Why is there an endangered species list if it's supposed to be survival of the fittest? Why are you?
That's a good question.
Why are you saving species when we're supposed to be letting the species kind of thin out the? Okay, it's like save the spotted owl. Hey, dude, if he can't cut it, if he couldn't get the Tootsie Pop commercial, out he goes. That's all I got. Number two. People are like going, he has lost it. Number two, first commercial skyjacking took place on this day in 1948. A group of four Chinese bandits attempting to hijack, rob, and ransom passengers on a flight to Macau from Macau to Hong Kong. But this is the one. There's always the one. 1862, Doomsday, the Swift Tuttle Comet is discovered by Louis Swift. In New York, and Horatio Tuttle spotted it 3 days later in Massachusetts. There's one in a 10,000 chance of colliding with the Earth in the year 2126. If it happened, the Earth would be destroyed. I mean, there would not be anything. So there is 106 years. So if the Lord tarries, and it's 100 years from now, can I just say right now, prophetically, you will hear more about the Lord has shown me the world is coming to an end than you have ever heard before, only now you're just hearing it 100 years ahead of time. Okay? All right, great. All right, simple question we got. What was the name of the Bible character who, because of his age, slept with a beautiful young virgin in order to keep warm? Not have sex, in order to keep warm. All right, let's go. Philippians 1. Boy, I'm taking a lot of time. Sorry. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul does this to greeting where he comes forward, as you heard me already say. He doesn't use the usual word apostle. He doesn't need to stress his authority with this church like he did with the church at Corinth. It's a much more intimate letter. He's coming off as a servant, not quoting himself as an apostle. This is the word doulos, okay, which is, just so you can understand, this is the main word that's used in the New Testament for a servant or slave, and it means subjection without bondage. It's a willful, what, everybody hear that word? What'd I say? Willful. Willful yielding and submission for the accomplishment of the task before. So doulos, and this that comes out of Vine's Bible Dictionary words, just in case you're wondering. And so Paul's like, hey, I'm just here. I'm yielding myself so I can better you. I'm doing it by choice. I want to be a blessing for you. And then he says to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Just so we can be on the same page and just so you can not get mad at me, this is a letter written to the saints at Christ Jesus at Philippi. So for those that think that saints are dead people get no mail. Okay, I don't know how to say that any clearer. Dead men receive no letter. or dead man receive no postage. Kind of. I mean, it's like he's not, oh, the saints are all the people that died. No, the saints are the living believers. And how we know that is because the letter is written to the church at Philippi, the saints in Jesus Christ at Philippi. Together, by the way, with the overseers and the deacons, which it tells you right there that Paul recognizes church government. He doesn't appreciate abusive church government. He doesn't support that, and he gives standards for it. But he recognizes that church government is a part of the function and a part of the process. And so he's telling them, hey, look it, you are the saints in Christ Jesus together with the overseers, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a reason, let me say this real quickly, there is a reason that Paul is addressing them as believers and this particular church, one of the few churches that is not so goofy that he has to write and say, you're goofy. Okay, in other words, it's one of the few churches where Paul just writes and goes, love you guys. You're great. I love you. And that's why Philippians is so encouraging. Instead of just corrective behavior, it's completely different. Okie dokie. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yes, Brother Ace again.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, buddy. Like I said, it's a beautiful day out of Texas.
Yes,
and,
it is.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. I'm not bad today. Today was has been a really wonderful day. All right, my friend, we had somebody who slept with a virgin in order to keep warm. No sex or anything, just keeping warm. Who was that person?
That was Mr. King David.
That is correct, sir. Absolutely correct. And what's really good about that, and I'm glad, Ace, that you said it that way, it's actually King David, not just David, because this is when David is king and he's, you know, at the end of his life and it's winding down and he couldn't find any place to find warmth. And we know that two people together, there can be created that worth. But it was King David in his age, not younger David or anything like that. And so this was a mercy. This is kind of a mercy way to have him feel more comfortable as he was winding down his life. Excellent, yeah. Excellent job, my brother. Excellent.
Yeah, I was thinking of the story of Ruth also that she had slept with the owner of the land. And anyway.
That is correct. It is.
Except the same story.
That wasn't that, but the Ruth one, of course, wasn't for warmth purposes as much as for the kinsman-redeemer situation. So excellent job, my brother. Great work.
Yeah, thank you for being there.
All right.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Love you in the Lord, man. You're a great guy.
Thank you.
All right. All right. So everybody got that. So it was David at the end of his life slept with a virgin because he couldn't find more body warmth. I got to exit here, but I do want to say this real quickly, just real fast. For those that don't know about the Philippian church, I just got to tell you this. This church, by the way, was started by a ladies' prayer group. So for those that don't think those are important, I started the church at Philippi. So, yeah, that would be wrong if you'd think that. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. As you know, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know you can reach out to the show at 214-210-8483, and also you can call 972-445-0770. Let me give a little clarification. Some people are not following what I was talking about. So the person that we were talking about for King David, we're not talking about David and Bathsheba. We're not talking about when he committed adultery. What we're talking about is 1 Kings chapter 1, where David was about to die. And this is what it says in 1 Kings 1, 1 and 2. When King David was old and well advanced in years, he could not keep warm even when they put covers on him. So his servant said, "Let us look for a young virgin to attend the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our Lord the king may keep warm." So this is not the woman that he slept with. This is not the person he was unfaithful with. This is somebody they found in order to keep David comfortable in his weaning days before he died. And so this particular case, now, when he had slept with Bathsheba, she was married to Uriah the Hittite. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about past that, post that. There's actually a commentator that thinks that maybe that was, kind of like a taunting or something. It's like, I don't think so. I think he was just old and cold, and the Lord was just trying to be merciful. So I just want to make sure everybody got that so that we are all on the same page there. It's out of 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Second thing, I could just 2 hours? Easy. I used to do 3 hours. I could do so many. It's just sad. All right. Second thing. Our next trivia question. Gonna be a little harder. I did tell you guys this, right? I did kind of forewarn you. All right. Here you go. This isn't that hard. It's the fourth one that's hard. All right. I'll give you that one now. Here it is. Ananias was told to go to what street? Ananias was told to go to what street? Got to be thinking Book of Acts, okay? Ananias was told to go to what street? If you know that answer, you can text it in 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. So we are talking about Philippians. As you know, we're in the intro. In the intro, it takes me some time because I want to make sure I get enough material down. and make sure you know where it's going. I've already kind of demonstrated, I hope, that the primary purpose for the book of Philippians is one of encouragement, and that Paul approaches this letter very differently than he approaches most of his letters, which is kind of cool. It's kind of an encouragement element. I did tell you that this was founded by a women's prayer group. Let's take this call, get this answer, and then we'll go back to it. This is David. Who am I talking to?
James.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, it's good to hear you. All right, my sister in the Lord, talk to me real quickly. What was the street called that Ananias was told to go to?
Was it straight?
That is correct! You are right! You got it! Straight Street! That is it! Excellent job! Did you know that? Did you know it right away?
I just remember the name.
Wow! Good job! Excellent, excellent, excellent. Congratulations on that. Thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
All right, God bless.
God bless.
All right, that's a toughie. We have our texters that are calling in, and they're getting it right, but it's still tough, all right? It's still a tough one. All right, let's go back to this. So as we were talking, good job by that, by the way. That was just straight, like, yep, you got it, Straight Street. Although that's a weird name for a street. Straight Street. There's Crooked Street. There's Over the Hill and Through the...
There's Curve Street.
Yeah, Curve Street.
Down Street.
Down to Grandma's House We Go Street. All right, so I already told you it was established by a women's prayer group. You should understand, this is kind of important, that when Paul was writing, he was in prison. This is one of the four prison epistles that have to do with Philemon and Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. Paul wrote this in prison in Acts 28. So everything he's writing about being encouraging and being uplifting and being confident, he's doing while his circumstance is horrible, right? Now, that's a testimony by itself, because here he is in prison awaiting sentence, and ultimately it's going to turn to be a death sentence, although not for a few years yet. But the bottom line is he's in prison writing a letter about encouragement. Think about that. And he's not in prison because he did anything wrong other than preach the gospel. This is not, we're not talking, and I'm saying this so that you don't get the wrong impression. We're not talking any kind of activism. We're not talking about any kind of social media. Not talking about it. Paul preached Jesus, and he was in prison. That's it. But while he was in prison, he's like, rejoice! It's like, but how do you write that, dude? How are you not, like, depressed and down and out? So again, Acts 16, when this church was birthed, when this book was written, Acts 28-ish. Epaphroditus, who we'll find out in chapter 2, is a key component in the book. Probably a pastor or a pastor, some type of pastor or minister at the Church of Philippi. Now, I normally don't do this, but when I did my study, I came across one piece that I thought was really good, and I thought it was really important to understand for us this point. And I'm going to take this from a scholar. I'm going to share this with you. I want you to note what this scholar says, okay? And this is really important for your Christian walk. Paul's purpose in writing goes even further than one would think. He's above all concerned that the Philippians continue to make progress in their faith. While there were no doubt conflicts within the congregation, and that is Euodia and Syntyche, the Philippians appear to be a healthy congregation in contrast to the troubled groups of Corinth and Galatia. Can they relax and rest? Paul's answer is an emphatic no. The world is too perilous and the gospel too glorious for them to be content with past achievements. They must follow Paul's example and press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. This is where scholars, I love scholars. Good ones anyway. Paul explains what spiritual progress looks like. Christian maturity does not come through special mystical insights available only to a few, but rather through the patient practice of familiar virtues of love and service to one another. In stating that differently, what he's saying is it's not these unique experiences, and he probably calls them mystical because he's probably more Baptist than he is Pentecostal, but it's not these experiences that demonstrate Christian progress. It's the continuation in love and the continuation in service to one another, even after you've seen all the rubbish that people do and all the terrible things people say and how many times people get wounded. Real Christian progress and maturity is when you keep going in the faith and growing in love and growing in service. That is Christian progress. Not that you have something happen, but that you reflect Jesus Christ. You know me, or you've listened to me before, I'm not a person that's opposed to people having experiences in the Lord. But that is not a determinant, that is not a equation by which you can evaluate a person's spirituality. To the level that they reflect Jesus is the level of their maturity and their progress. I know plenty of Baptists and plenty of Pentecostals, and in all of those realms, there are only a few that consistently demonstrate the character of Jesus Christ. Those people are making continual progress in advancing the kingdom in their lives and in the lives of people around them. And the reason that I bring that up is because many of us, myself included, love microwaves. I love Star Trek, where they beam from one spot to another. I think it's the coolest thing ever. I think anything that, you know, like I go like this, and it happens, and it's over. Okay? That's cool, but that's not how Christian maturity and progress is measured. It's not beyond my scope to be able to say to the very school I'm going to, I have taught a lot more, spent a lot more time and da-da-da-da than a lot of people that I'm learning from. But Christian, that's pride. Christian character says, I will toe the line, I will walk the path, I will climb the mountain and do that which is set before me, piece by piece and glory by glory, because that is what the Lord has put before me, and that's more mature. I don't like it all the time. Who likes growing pains? So tell me. Oh, I love growing. I don't. First of all, you have to get different clothes if you grow, because the other clothes don't fit. And then you just got comfortable with the clothes you had. Second of all, this is all about us reflecting Jesus glory by glory and piece by piece. And this letter that we're going to dive into, and so much more next week, but I'm going to do one section in this fourth section, but so much more next week. This letter is all about that progression. So when you think of Philippians, I want you to think encouragement and progress. Encouragement and progress. Not a coincidence that next week we're starting with Philippians 1:6, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Not a coincidence. Get it? Okay. All right. And then when we come back, though, we got this 4 and 5 we're going to really deal with and head right into. And get ready, because I got one more trivia question for you that should be, hopefully, a lot of fun. I hope you're getting some out of this, because this is important for you to grasp better than I can communicate it. It's for you to reflect Jesus and to keep encouraged. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Huh. Let me me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
My you got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Amazing Grace.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Having a fun show. I like these kind of shows. Got a lot of different materials going on, got a lot of different things, but I like the teaching in the background and catching some of the material that helps us understand what they were going through, you know, what's going on, what's Paul doing, what's the letter for, where are they thinking, who are these people? And these are people that are close to Paul. So I love that, and when we get to chapter 3, you'll hear me blubber. One of my favorite texts of all scripture is in chapter 3. So just forewarning you, you've been forewarned, okay? And it's good when people ask questions and then we take the different trivia to different places. It's all about learning the word. And something that I came across today, and let me say this before I get into the trivia. I didn't know if the Lord would let me work it in or not, but if I make a mistake, I'll just do my best anyway. So I was reading in part of my devotions today, and this is the passage that kind of leaped out, one of the passages. It says in Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. One of the things that I really struggle with in society is everybody claiming that they are ministers or people of justice. And my problem is I don't know what they're basing that justice on. And I thought that was very comforting to me to see that from God's definition, people know justice if they are actually people that are seeking the Lord. And that helps me because it's like, yeah, because I know it's in God no matter what this answer is for all this stuff. And it's important for wherever we're at and for wherever we're doing to have this seeking the Lord attitude. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else should be added unto you. So it's got to start with that passion there and then let it manifest in some of these other areas. That's just my take on it, and I just think it's really important for us to earnestly hunger for God on a regular basis. Okay? So that's my soapbox. I got a radio show which I teach, and I'm telling you I have a soapbox. Boy, oh boy. I need prayer. All right, here's the next one. Here's the next trivia question. For those that are ready for it, when Joshua entered the Promised Land, what was the name of the second city he attacked? It's an actual trivia question. When Joshua entered the Promised Land, what was the name of the second city that he attacked? If you don't have to look that up, I will be impressed. I'm just saying. You're welcome to call 972-445-0770 or text 214-210-8483. Our website, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's go to the text. As you know, we started off Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that is the same general statement. It's kind of like saying shalom. Same thing he said to the Ephesians. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. For how many? For all of you. Does that mean that he put every person individually by name and spent 4 hours on each name? No. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Well, why would that be, Paul? Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He, of course, mentions the two major components, grace, which is unmerited favor, peace, which is the state of our relationship. And then verse 4 and 5, he talks about the simplicity of the reason for his joy, especially because he's writing these guys and it's a more intimate letter. And what is it that he's so happy about? It's their joint participation in the work. Now, I want you to think about that. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's got this little kick in his step because these guys at this church that he helped plant 12 years ago are partnering with him, be it financial, be it prayers, be it love. It doesn't even matter. He's just like, yeah, somebody with me. And what you need to catch in there is that not just ministry, but individual Christians, people, if you're a Christian and somebody gets on the phone with you or sends you an email or sends you a text or something and says, I'm with you, I love you, I'm praying for you, it's such a blessing. It's a blessing to know that you are thought of. Isn't it? I mean, I'm going to use it. I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but Tierra had a thing up on LinkedIn. I think it was today, right? And I just like, yay. Why? Because to know that people know, to be aware that people are aware of you and that they care about you and they're concerned about you and they're committed. When you guys call in or when you text in or when you send me an email, and yes, when you give, and yes, when you don't give, but you pray for and you say, hey, we're praying for you, that's a blessing. Because I got a message for you. It's got my name on it so we can have some distinction in it, but this is about Jesus Christ. This is about the kingdom of God. And I fail all the time doing stuff all the time, but you guys know you're with me in this. It's like, yeah, well, we're just going to keep pushing forward. Do the best we can. And Paul is like, I thank God every time I think of you guys. What an awesome thought. Every time I think of this person, I praise God. I can say that about my wife and about a handful of other people. I'm not sure I can say that in mass. There's a couple people in my family when I think about, I get gas. I mean, it's just terrible. It's like, oh. Right? That's normal. We're regular people. Stop trying to be, you know, we're people who are touched by Jesus Christ. So it's not us that is saving anybody. We're just connected and trying to connect to the Lord, and the Lord then uses us to communicate and further his message. And so I was like, I thank God every time I remember you. It's like, that's nice. And all my prayers for all of you. And I always pray with joy because your partnership in the gospel from the very beginning, 12 years ago when we put that church together, when Lydia, the seller of purple, said yes, when the Philippian jailer said yes, me and my household, when we started building this together and put this thing together, you have been partnering with me all the way through for over 10 years, and it matters. And that's how it is with God and you. you know, you read this and you understand this is Paul writing to the church of Philippi, and you want to be a part of that and understand that background, but you still need to have that personal application. One, you need to have other believers with you and you with other believers, so you have that mutual benefit. But two, you need to understand this. The Lord, he thinks of you. He's happy. He doesn't like your sinful behavior, but he likes you. If he didn't like you, he wouldn't spend eternity with you. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's like, okay. I mean, this is a big part of you understanding how God feels. But no, he's not happy that you're suffering. He didn't want anybody to suffer, but man made their choice, and now God already made that escape hatch, already gave us an out, because he's merciful and he's gracious. But what we need to see in this letter is this level of intimacy, and you're going to hear this. If you don't like this part of it, you're going to hate this whole series. This is how the whole letter goes. This is because he's writing these people. He loves these people. They're just great. They're fantastic brothers and sisters in the Lord that are a part of it. And when you guys, I'm telling you, I feel that way about you guys so much more than you know. When you participate in the show, when you do anything like that and connect with me, it's like I have people that asked for prayer a year and a half ago. I'm still praying for them. They don't call the show. I know, but they listen from time to time. Lord bless them. That's wonderful. They're in a partnership with me, and I'm in a partnership with them. Isn't that fantastic? I think it's fantastic. Do we have somebody that called in? I guess we got somebody calling in. And I think we're going to – yeah, see, if I go down this road, and I only got a minute, so if we're taking this call, we only got 1 minute. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ben.
Hey, Ben. How are you, brother?
Excellent.
All right, my friend. This is a good one. Yes, it is. So Joshua entered the promised land. What was the name of the second city he attacked?
I believe it was Ai.
That is correct, sir. Ai is the answer. That is exactly right. Now, that's a tough one because it's like you wouldn't normally think of what's the first city or what's the last city. But Ai was
always,
the first city.
Always remember Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho's a little, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. So you kind of always knew that right off the bat. Excellent job. Uh-huh. Excellent job, my friend. That's the key. Excellent work. Thank you, sir. You got it in right under the bell. Thank you. Thank you, brother. All right. Good job, my man. All right. All right. That's the wrap-up. Get ready, because you're going to hear on Thursdays a lot of mushy. Instead of mushy, it's mushy. Get it? Got it? Be encouraged. Think Philippians. Think encouragement. Great job by everybody calling in and in texting. Great show. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.